Song of Solomon, chapter 6. The daughters of Jerusalem are speaking. This is after the nightmare of chapter 5, where she has this nightmare that Solomon is trying to get in and knocking on her door, and it's in the middle of the night, and she isn't made up. She hasn't got a makeup on, so she doesn't open immediately. She tries to put her makeup on, but then she thinks, oh, hang, yeah, I better open the door lest he goes away. And her makeup starts to drip all over the handles of the lock. She opens the door and he's gone. And then she goes out on the street to try to find him. She gets beaten up by the watchmen of Jerusalem. And then she gets in this sort of cat fight with the daughters of Jerusalem, who say, huh, well, where is your beloved gone? Implying, no, he's come to see us. And she says, no, he's so beautiful, he's mine. And then the daughters of Jerusalem say here, where has your beloved gone, you fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned, that we may seek him with you? They're being very sarcastic, you fairest among women. They're saying, yeah, and where has your beloved gone? He's come to see us. Are you going to go and look for him with us? Would you like us to come with you? She says, my beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He browses among the lilies. So she's basically saying, look, he's slept with me, so he's mine. Then Solomon speaks. You are beautiful, my love, as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. So he keeps likening her to things within Israel. He wants to see her as if she is an Israelite woman when she is not. She's an Egyptian. And this is what happens. People say, oh, yeah, but this guy or this girl, oh, she's very spiritual, really. Say, like, but is she a committed Christian? Has she been born again? Has she been baptized? Well, no, but she's a very, very nice person. And she's a very spiritual person. Yeah. You're trying to see in the person what you want to see. And people end up falling in love with an image of what they like to believe is true. They put their image upon that person, rather than loving the person for who they are. Turn away your eyes from me, Solomon says to her, for they have overcome me. This is now at least the third time that he says that he is totally captivated by her eyes. But he himself has taught in the book of Proverbs, young Israelite man, don't let the Gentile girl flatter you with her eyes. She will lead you away from God. And this is exactly what he lets happen to him. He just will not see the wisdom that he has as personally applying to him. It's like you can talk a lot about the good news of the kingdom and we shall be in the kingdom, or the kingdom of God will come. But the question is, will I be there? And people can talk about all those things without personally believing it at all. Your hair is like a flock of goats that lie along the side of Gilead. Again, he's likening her to something in Israel. He's seeing her as if she is an Israelite when she isn't. Your teeth are like a flock of ewes which have come up from the washing, of which each one has twins. None is bereaved among them. Again, as before, he's just trotting out the same thing. Or you have got a complete set of teeth, which in those days, without dentistry as we know it, toothpaste and brushing your teeth and all that, people's teeth fell out. To have a complete set of teeth, even when you were young, was pretty cool. And, of course, he's looking at her as she was then, as a young woman. Nobody in those days kept their teeth. She would have lost those teeth, but he's just caught up with her as she then was. Your temples are like a piece of a pomegranate behind your veil. There were 60 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is unique. She is her mother's only daughter. Well, I think that it may be that at this point, Solomon already had wives and concubines. He ends up with 600 wives and 400 concubines, but here he talks about 60 wives and 80 concubines and virgins without number. It's a bit hard to understand why he comes out with this, but I think what he's saying is, Yeah, sure, I've got 60 wives and 80 concubines at the moment, but you're the one. And she's dumb enough to believe him. She is the favourite one of her who bore her, so, yeah, her mother didn't have any other children. She is her mother's only daughter. So the mother was going to be very, very involved with this girl, and that meant that he was marrying not just a woman, but her family and her obsessive, controlling mother. And that mother was from Egypt, it seems, and was certainly not a believer in the one true God, so this was all not boding well spiritually. The daughters saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines praise her. Oh, come on, Solomon, he's trying to kid this young woman that, oh, yeah, you know, I've got wives and concubines, but, you know, the daughters of Jerusalem, they love you, they think you're blessed. And all my queens, my wives and concubines, they praise you. They think you're wonderful, dear. Of course not. There would have been bitterness and catcalling and jealousy issues, absolutely huge. And you can see that from how the daughters of Jerusalem speak to her. He's trying to persuade her of that, which is obviously not true. And because she's in this in-love phase, and she's eager to believe what she wants to believe, and because she's not thinking totally rationally, because she's in love, she believes him. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, beautiful as the moon, clear as the sun, and awesome as an army with banners? I went down into the nut tree grove to see the green plants of the valley, to see whether the vine budded and the pomegranates were in flower. Without realizing it, my desire set me with my royal people's chariots. The daughters of Jerusalem then say, return, return, Shulamite. That's the female form of Solomon, like Mrs. Solomon. Return, return, that we may gaze at you. Like she's run away, because the daughters of Jerusalem are obviously very against her. And now they're sarcastically saying, oh, Shulamite, oh, Mrs. Solomon, return that we may gaze at you. Solomon then says, why do you desire to gaze at the Shulamite as at the dance of Mahanaim? Well, Mahanaim means two camps. And I think the idea is that, yeah, there's the camp of the daughters of Jerusalem, maybe the camp, as it were, of the family and supporters of this Egyptian girl. And he's imagining that these two camps have a dance going on, and she, the Shulamite, this girl, is dancing in front of both of them. It's a difficult idea, but I think you see the tension and unhappiness which there was, because he simply shouldn't have been involved with this girl from the start. And you see this kind of complex situation going on in so many relationships, and it just never ends happily because people are not doing it God's way.